Bald and Blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution Podcast. The podcast to get tools for a powerful mind you can use immediately every day. Get tips, tricks, skills, and inspiration to create what you desire and achieve a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Pup.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm Kathy Tate, your host from Australia. With me, as always, is Daisy Papp, your host from the Florida Keys. Hi, Daisy. You're back home.
Yes, I'm back home, and it's good to be here, although it's, again, much work awaiting me, and I thought that whenever I travel, it will be good to be there and rest a little bit, and it will be good to come home and rest a little bit here. It seems not happening at this point in time. I'm a little bit tired, and I'm trying to do my best to give my body the rest it needs.
Yes, in fact, you've inspired me for today's episode, Daisy, because of what you've experienced on coming home. And to explain that to our listeners, at the time of recording, Florida has just had a hurricane pass through it, and Daisy's come back from Europe, home to the Florida Keys, to a bit of catastrophe awaiting her. And so I thought today we would base the episode on that because I'm sure that there are people out there in our 74 countries around the world who also experience catastrophes. And sometimes it is hard to cope with that. So that's what has inspired today's episode, coping with catastrophe.
Well, it's quite timely. I admit, though, that here in the Florida Keys, we were very fortunate that the hurricane didn't hit us and didn't come our way. What it did, actually, it passed through the Gulf of Mexico, about 200 miles off Key West and the Middle Keys. And nevertheless, we had a storm surge and we had flooding in the yard and on the beach. And this time, luckily, there was no water in my house. But what happened is, and that is a catastrophe to me because I'm not used to any shooting under my house. And I'm living actually almost on the ground level. So there is no people under my house. But while I was away and my dear son is here in the house and he says, Mom, you know, it sounds sometimes as if it's a shooting under the house. And I say, well, I think this might be electricity. And he shared with me that half of the electricity in half of the house was gone. So we had the electrician come and he found a burnt fuse box under the house. And interestingly, it was fixed 2 days ago. And tonight, while I was cooking, I almost dropped everything because I've never heard shooting around me. I must admit, at a shooting range, yes, but there you're prepared. But while cooking at peace and you have some nice conversation and maybe there's music in the background and all of a sudden. So it is a catastrophe because I don't feel safe sleeping when there is maybe something burning under the house or some electrical other issues going on. But I have a smoke detector, so I would be awakened when something would be maybe on fire, which I don't think it will because the electricity this time is fine in the house, but I need to have it fixed again. Nevertheless, where the real catastrophe happened this time in Florida is on the West Coast, and my entire compassion and empathy goes out for everyone affected by this. Fort Myers area, Fort Myers Beach is gone, Cape Coral, and the West Coast of Florida is very disturbingly destroyed. And I can relate to that very much because 5 years ago, my home was hit directly by a hurricane, by a Category 5 hurricane. In Fort Myers, it was a Cat 4. Nevertheless, it was the strongest that they have measured since decades. So it was really bad. And how do you handle catastrophe or how do you cope with it? Well, little by little, one day at a time. And what I find extraordinary during the hurricane cleanup 5 years ago, what I realized that it is incredible how many helpful people there are. People came here with buses from the northern parts of the United States, traveled here, and some flew in to help clean up voluntarily.
It's amazing.
I've never seen such a generous help back then. And I know of people now from the Florida Keys driving over the weekend to the west coast of Florida, which is like a 7-hour drive, 8-hour drive, depending on the street conditions. And they go there to volunteer and help clean up. So whoever is in a catastrophe or is facing a catastrophe or has been facing a catastrophe, it is a good idea to remind ourselves that there is help out there. And even in the most hopeless and helpless situation, there is help. And I know I'm one of them, because when I receive a phone call at almost midnight and people need my help, I'm just right there and I will serve.
Yeah, I think that's an incredible upside. A very positive aspect of such a disaster is the reaction of the other human beings around you who gather around with positive spirits to help their fellow humans out.
Yeah.
I mean, that is quite an amazing response to see people volunteer their time just because they understand how it feels and they want to help other people. I think that's incredible generosity of spirit.
Yeah.
And it shows the best of humankind. And I really love that as a first point that we're making. And I know that one of your dear friends has a business over in the area that's been affected directly. I believe the ferry terminal has been decimated.
Mm-hmm.
So how's he coping with it, knowing that his business might be ruined for months?
Well, it is certain that it is ruined for 6 months, and maybe 20% of the regular business, maybe 30% of the regular business will remain from an alternative ferry terminal pier that is close by and was not affected. But this is hardship, because there are so many employees and then there are salaries, and those employees have families. Some may have a mortgage, some may have a leased car, some may have little children or may have medical bills. So it is a very hard decision for my friend to make. So how is he going to handle it? Because he is not sitting on $1 billion where he could say, okay, so I continue just paying my employees and let it run for the next 2 years in case the ferry terminal is not up and running. And this is just one of the many examples. I cannot even imagine the many restaurant businesses there in the hit area. I cannot even imagine the many homes being destroyed. I've seen it with my own eyes 5 years ago on this side of Florida. And people may ask, okay, so why do you live here? Well, this is the price of living in paradise.
Yes, well, that is probably true, but it is a fact that catastrophes can happen anywhere, anytime, anywhere around the world, yeah, and do every single day, whether we're aware of them or not. So I don't think the question is always, why do you live there? It's more that, how do you prepare yourself knowing you live in a danger zone and that it may happen one day? At least if you've got some sort of preparedness, when it does happen, you've got a bit of an idea of what to do or how to cope with it.
Yes, I think you have a great point here. Being prepared. Now, you cannot really be fully prepared for a catastrophe. Impossible. Nevertheless, what you can do is take measures that make sense. For example, at the beginning of hurricane season here in Florida, it's a good idea to have enough water in the house, like bottled water, gallons of water. That's how we can buy water here. And it's almost 4 liters. Then have food that you can prepare without a stove. Then have your medicines or band-aids, have batteries at home, have food for the animals if you have pets.
Yes, I know that where I grew up in northwestern Australia, it was actually what we call a cyclone zone. Mm-hmm. A cyclone in the southern hemisphere is the same as a hurricane in the northern hemisphere. I'm not too sure why they call them two different things, other than that I believe they spin in opposite directions. Mm-hmm. Because of the hemisphere we live in. However, so I grew up in that and have been through many cyclones, some of which were mild and some of which were quite strong. That's probably not the right word. And so one of the things that we were taught quite young was fill the bathtub up with water as the first thing.
Yeah.
make sure that you've got those stores, that food, the batteries, the first aid supplies, the animal food. You shutter down your windows. You prepare in every way you can. And then, of course, there's the fact of what you're living in at the time in Western Australia, and it's probably the best example in the whole country. The housing is built to a much higher standard than it is everywhere else, knowing that they're in that weather zone where we get repeated storms like that, that are, can be quite devastating. And even back when I was a little girl, which is quite a long time ago now, they had very strong building standards. And so we had a lot of damage to gardens and trees and the beach and the surroundings. But for the most part, our buildings were quite strong and sturdy and stood up to it. Now, that hasn't always been the case. And there's a very famous cyclone in Australia called Cyclone Tracy that actually devastated Darwin on Christmas Day way back, I think it was in the early 70s, and the town was decimated by the cyclone. It was the strongest one the country has ever seen in its history, recorded history. And I think that possibly is what prompted the new building standards up in the north zone of Australia, because the whole north of Australia, right across the country, is a cyclone zone because of its tropical weather. And so I have some experience myself around living through these storms, but I have been lucky enough to be safe in that the buildings I've weathered them in have been built to withstand them. And not everybody was that lucky. I know of people, and in fact, my son's wife, I hope she doesn't mind me mentioning her story. When she was a baby, her mother and father were living up north, not in the same town, but in a close by town. They had a cyclone when she was only a few days old. They were sheltering in their bathroom, in the bathtub, because that's what you do when you're in a house that is a bit doubtful about how it will go in that weather. And the roof blew off. So here's this poor new mother with a toddler and a new baby, and they're in the bathtub and they actually lost the roof to their house. And I just cannot imagine how terrifying that must have been for her. And it's an amazing story now, but at the time, I'm sure that she was very scared for her life and her child's life. And having being a mother myself, I can't even imagine being in that situation with my baby. And yet it happens to people throughout the world all the time with some of the radical weather that happens around the world. And sometimes you don't get a choice about where you live either, do you? I know that you've said, oh, it's the cost of living in paradise, but sometimes we don't actually have the means to not live where we live.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah,
we are just stuck with what happens. And so I think that's an interesting point. You've got to kind of be in this sort of prepared state just in case, because you have this knowledge about the possibilities of what might happen. Even though you don't want to think that may happen, you've still got to be prepared to a certain point just in case it does.
Mm-hmm. It is, I think, a good idea, no matter where you live and no matter how safe you believe you're living, to know where your passport is, to know where your birth certificate is, to maybe store all the important paperwork in one spot so that when you need to leave, that you know where it is and that you might remember that. So it's good also to be prepared and have an emergency list, because usually what happens is when we start panicking, we forget about the smallest and most logical little things. So it's good to have a plan. I usually am very prepared when it comes to things like that due to living in this area since 14 years, not in the Keys, but in South Florida. And nevertheless, when I'm tired, I might forget. Why? Because I'm not having access to my creative mind and my thinking mind, to my rational thinking areas in the brain. And that also is a big wake-up call that no matter if there's a catastrophe or not, we must take care of our sleeping patterns.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I was going to say too, if you do go into that panic mode, we've switched on our reptile brain, and so we're not going to think as clearly or as logically as we perhaps would in a calm situation. And that's another reason why you should have this preparedness in place. So at least then when it's all happening and it feels like it's too much, you can go back to that list or that action plan and you've got something to follow until a little bit of calmness returns. And I also wanted to bring up uncertainty because I feel like that's a big point here. In the aftermath of something like this happening, how do you cope with not knowing if you're going to have an income because your job's been put at risk because the business you work for, like your friends, has been hurt so badly? That is probably a huge stressor for most people, is not knowing if they've got an income coming in to feed their families or to pay for their basic needs in life. And the stress of that, I imagine, is going to push us also into that reptile brain zone. And so I thought that was something that we should touch on as well.
Well, I think it is absolutely mandatory to focus on what we can control and stop focusing on what we cannot control. When we continue focusing on what we cannot control, it's just emptying our remaining batteries. It is truly exhausting. I know of a woman, she was not hit by the catastrophe of any weather conditions, but she had a hip replacement because she had a broken hip and it needed to be replaced. That's what the doctor said. And she healed quite fine, but she was totally depressed. So I had a great talk with her and we had great conversations. She was doing a little bit better. And this poor woman, she falls off the stairs from the house leading to the yard because she wanted to go with her husband to a doctor's appointment and she breaks her leg. Now, this poor woman, again in the hospital, she is so absolutely extremely saddened. And she's panicking because she says, look, this cannot really happen to me within 2 months. And now, fact is that her leg is broken. Fact is that it needs to be operated on. Fact is that she's not going to jump and dance the next couple months. That's fact. So why focusing on what's fact that she cannot change? So I suggested her the almost impossible to visualize and imagine herself walking pain-free with a smile on her face, dancing with her lovely, beloved husband, carrying the little grandchildren around, visualizing the good stuff. Because let's face it, no situation in this life lasts forever because the clock keeps ticking. The greatest pain you've ever been in didn't last forever. Neither physical pain, nor mental pain, nor emotional pain. So let's remember that as well. It will change, and it takes our attitude to participate in it, to support getting out of these catastrophes. And the uncertainty, yes, if there's uncertainty, face it. And I have good news for everyone out there. Life is a series of uncertainties. And you who are listening, you have 100% success rate so far because you're listening. You survived it. You survived all the uncertainties and all the series of uncertainties since you're born. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, I really like that. Uncertainty is certain.
Yes, totally. And life, let's face it, is a series of uncertainties. And once we make peace with that one fact, our life is going to be surely more balanced. Why? Because I stop focusing on what I cannot control. So I stop wasting energy on something that I cannot change anyways. And I can become more flexible towards the uncertainties. And in the meantime, I can acquire skills and I can train myself so that I will be able to be flexible in case of any uncertainty. And that's every single individual's call to prepare themselves mentally, remembering that nothing lasts forever. After the darkness, it gets brighter again when you're really at the very northern tip of the northern hemisphere. Then in winter, you have really not so much sunlight because there is none during the winter time, and the same at the southern tip of the southern hemisphere, because you won't have daylight for months.
Yeah.
But other than that, it just takes longer, but there will be light again. I had the neighbor's gardener coming over and helping me in the yard, because the entire beach is filled with seaweed and it's very heavy and it's stinky. And well, you cannot walk on it because it's quite high and it's not comfortable. So it needs to be cleaned up either way, one way or the other. I have no idea how, but I know that it will be cleaned up eventually. I worked several hours today during sunlight, and it's really hot and the heat doesn't really bother, but the sunlight. The yardman said to me, well, please take on long sleeves, so otherwise you would burn yourself. And he's right, because I forgot that I wasn't here for quite a while, so I'm not really used to the sunlight here as much. Now, do I know that it will be cleaned up? Yes. Do I know how? No. But I know it will, because I will not give up until it's clean and pretty again. It may take me 2 months. I do what I can with the means I have right now. Not with the means I could have tomorrow or in a month from now. No, what I do have right now, I utilize to handle what is right here, right now.
So that's a good point, to utilize what we have right here, right now, and not be thinking or wishing for something that we don't have. And I think that this point is super important, because I know that when I was younger and I learnt, if I let go of what I couldn't control, then it made my life a whole lot less stressful. And I was trying to control so many things around me, because I had gone through a lot of trauma and turmoil, and the uncertainty was super stressful. And so I reacted to that by trying to control things around me as much as I could. And then I learned this lesson about letting that go, and sometimes just having faith that things are going to take care of themselves in some way, and we don't know how at that time, but we can do what's in our power right here, right now, with the tools and the skills that we have right here, right now, and just go, well, the rest is, we're going to figure it out as we go. And tomorrow is another day, and let's just focus on what's happening here, because things pass and things change, and we don't know how that is going to happen, because like you said, life is a series of uncertainties. And if you can wrap your head around that concept and let go of that need to control everything, I do think it makes things a lot less stressful.
I agree with you. Nevertheless, that also takes skills to be able to let go a little bit. I have many clients who suffer letting go, who suffer from trying to control the uncontrollable, which then leaves them in a state of stress that's not healthy over a long period of time, that then may or may not cause them some physical ailments, that then leads them to even more stress, that then leads them to more ailments. So it's really a question of putting a stop sign up there in front of our thoughts and reminding ourselves that thoughts come and go. Trust me, I have them too. And some of them are absolutely not friendly, not supporting me, and don't feel good at all. And I'm the one who chooses which thoughts I'm going to entertain and which thoughts I'm going to spend my time with. And when I realize that is in my power and I can train myself, then I most likely will have less need to control.
Yeah, I think that's a super important point. And I think that a lot of us can be guilty of overthinking in the wrong direction sometimes. And it is a really good idea to be aware of that and aware of your thoughts. And I know some people who just say, oh, well, that's just the way I am. That's the way I think, or I'm too old to change now, or sentences like that. I still would like to think, no, you're not. You're never too old to learn. We never stop learning. We are always capable of change. We're always capable of evolving. That is what this whole podcast is about, after all. Mindset evolution. We are big fans of encouraging everybody out there to have an open mind and to perhaps look at, can I change the way I think? Will that make my life better? And I believe, yes.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And it is a call for all of us to take inventory of our thinking patterns, of our habitual thoughts that repeat themselves over and over and over again. And when we are aware of that, then it's quite simple to measure if they're good for us or not. Just notice how you're feeling while you're thinking these thoughts. Does it make you feel good? Does it stress you out? Does it give you a stomach ache? Do you get shaky hands? And let's start being our own best friends by choosing thoughts that will lead us to feel better, because our body is responding instantaneously to our thoughts. Great example, lemon sorbet. When I start speaking about lemons over and over and how I cut the lemons and how I squeeze the lemons, now imagine as if you were sucking on a piece of lemon or a lemon half, and imagine you see me as I'm drinking fresh lemon juice, and I wonder if you check your saliva. Did not your body respond to the lemon that you just hear through my voice described? So your body is instantaneously responding with the matching feelings to our thoughts. So is it easy to control our thinking patterns and to change them? I never said it's easy. I say it's worthwhile. Every single day, it's worthwhile. I could be standing all day long out there and working and thinking to myself, oh no, this will never be finished. There's still so much left to do. How am I going ever to do that? How will I accomplish this? Are they going to take away the trash bins and the trash bags that I filled with the seaweed? And what is going to happen? And shall I burn maybe some of it? Which it's not doable really to do that here, because first of all, it's too wet. And secondly, I'm not sure if any of the neighbors would be happy if I'm starting to send out smoke signs. So I could have been there with that attitude, or I can face what will be done, and I do as much as I can. Little by little. Nobody said that it needs to be clean by tomorrow. If I had 10 helpers who volunteer coming here and clean it up together, I'm certain in 2-3 days we could do it. By myself and maybe with a little help here and there, it is a lot of work. And you know what? It no longer bothers me. 20 years ago, I would have probably stressed over it. Today, no. It is what it is. Fact. Can I change it right here, right now, with the tools and skills and the manpower I currently have? No. Therefore, I'm still focusing on finding someone who's going to help. One does not exclude the other. So accepting what is does not mean that I'm not seeking for solutions, but I'm not going to deny acknowledgement of what is.
Yeah, and I think that practicing this way of thinking in normal times and taking that inventory and watching ourselves and how we feel is going to put us in a much better place when we do have to cope with something that is catastrophic.
Yeah.
When we experience a crisis or a catastrophe, this more healthier way of thinking is going to serve us really well. And so now's the time to practice that, I think, when we're not in catastrophe. So if you're not in catastrophe right now, have a look at how you think and what your self-talk is and what your thought patterns are and how they make you feel, and be aware of that. And maybe there's an opportunity to grow there that you hadn't realized.
Yes. And when we practice that really well, then it will be our automatic response in crisis or during a catastrophe or shortly after or long term afterwards. And when we are truly training ourselves in practicing attitude, like a good attitude, calm attitude, thinking attitude, our thinking attitude is absolutely amazingly important. Why? Because it will have an impact on how I feel. How I feel has an impact on how I handle situations. It influences my actions. And therefore, it is truly, let's take control over our mind and let's not be mind controlled. Let's become self-thinkers again. And one very important, tiny, but to me, it was a huge lesson I learned, ask for help. Because what is wrong about asking for help? I think nothing. because I just think of myself when people ask me for help, I enjoy helping very much. And if I don't ask for help when it's needed, I'm unfriendly to myself, because when I can't do it by myself, then I will need some help. So isn't it a better idea to pronounce it and announce it as soon as possible? So maybe someone can say and volunteer, hey, I help you out. Or you have this heavy luggage, let me help you. So ask for help.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great place to finish this discussion about catastrophe on that note. And any final thoughts on that?
One other final thought, or one of the final thoughts that I'd like to add here, is remember that humans are awesome when we let them. And part of that is not taking things personally. When someone is, let's say, not helping us, then okay, accept it, respect their choice, and move on. If the numbers are right, we are about 8 billion people on this planet.
That's it for us today. It's been a really good discussion, and thank you for sharing your personal circumstances with our listeners around the world, Daisy. We hope that this will help them, and we do encourage all of you out there to take that personal inventory so that when a catastrophe or a crisis is at hand, you are prepared mentally and otherwise.
Two more things to be prepared for: water filter. And preparing for catastrophe, it's a good idea also when you can, depends on where you live, but having a generator is a good idea. Then they also have these solar packs, so you can charge your phones, at least be able to be in communication. I think these are practical tips besides the mental tips.
Yes, they are. We'll add that to the list along with food, water, first aid, and your pet food, of course, for our babies, our fur babies. That's it. We're going to wrap it up. We've probably gone a little bit longer this time than we normally do, but it has been a really great episode. So to everyone out there, we encourage you to have a look and see how you can be prepared mentally and physically for something unexpected. And we'll see you again soon with another awesome episode from Bold and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening in to the Bold and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our podcast with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place. For you, for us, for future generations. Visit us at baldandblonde.live to get freebies, give feedback, and even support us with as little as $1. Talk to you soon.